Hello, everyone. I'm David W. Burner. Everybody calls me Dave. Some call me David. My mother called me David. Either way, this is The Writer Shed. Welcome to the very first episode, the debut of the Writer Shed podcast from Writer Shed Press, an indie publisher just outside Chicago with its office. Yes, inside an 8x10 writing shed on the property of its founder, me, and I'm inside that shed right now with a cup of coffee talking to you and just looking forward to continuing these podcasts in a way that we want to, and that is to talk about the beauty of the writing life, the wonderful things, the struggles that get us to where we want to be. So why this podcast? Well, we want to celebrate the writing life in general, no matter where you are in this journey. Writers, no matter their experience, their publication list, their resumes, we all do the same thing. We create out of the air, right? Out of nothing. Sylvia Plath said, "The worst enemy of creativity is doubt." The Writer Shed is here to acknowledge that and celebrate it somehow as we, the writers, move on and try to get done what we want to get done. And our first episode explores the Writer Shed's own beginnings. That is not unlike chapters in all of our own lives. The place we write. Where do we start writing? Where did we sit down or stand up to begin to tell stories? So here at the Writer Shed, a few years ago, I convinced my wonderful wife that I wanted a Dylan Thomas-esque writing shed, minus the estuary that he saw from his window of his small boathouse, minus the great pub down the street, although we have a few nice little places around here, but we're not in Wales. I just wanted a little shed, you know. She agreed, and here I sit inside this place now, a window to the north, a small heater, a desk full of books, my guitar, my space, a writer's space. But what is the significance of where we write? I mean, how important is it or not? The Writer Shed's first guest for our very first podcast is Jared Brock, a writer and author who has penned work for The Guardian and Esquire and Time, written several books, and recently wrote a piece on the online site Medium about the writing spaces of many, many writers, dozens of them. Some of those spaces Jared has been to personally. Well, Jared, you know these writing spaces.
When my wife and I travel, we do three things. We eat good food, we visit distilleries and monasteries, and I tour the homes of famous writers. So yeah. I am very delighted to talk to you about writing spaces.
And you've written about it, and you've been to a lot of these places too. You've been to Emerson's and Longfellow's and Dylan Thomas's and Henry David Thoreau's. And thank you for being here. But the first question is really why? Why is this seemingly so an important thing to you, and why should it be important to us where we create?
That's a good question. I don't really know why. I think generally for writers, we have this dream in our heads of this idyllic, perfect writing cabin in the woods where if we only had that space, we would sit down and pen the next Odyssey or Iliad or work of Shakespeare. And the reality is it's a giant myth. Dan Brown wrote the outline for the Da Vinci Code on a ironing board in his parents' laundry room. J.K. Rowling wrote her Harry Potter books in a coffee shop while on government subsidies. You know, these are famous stories. But the reality is that life is not so idyllic. I wrote my first book in 3.5 weeks in my wife's aunt's attic in Boston. And I've written books all over the place. I'm currently working on one in a 200-year-old stone Victorian cottage by the Irish Sea. But it totally, we can't allow our environment to change the fact that we still need to do the work, right? You know this as a multiple published author. The muse doesn't strike until you strike the muse.
Yeah, it's I've always said this, even when I do workshops and stuff, is, you know, it's a craft. You have to go to work. Mm-hmm. But that said, writing in a stone building by the Irish Sea sounds pretty darn good to me.
Yes. And you know what? Some days it is. Some days it's brilliant. Some days it's great. And some days it's just as hellish as anywhere else I've ever written. It's mostly in your mind. You know, this week we've had frosts. and one of our walls is now leaking, and we had someone to come look at it, and they say it's actually an ancient sea salt deposit that's making its way into our house through an underground stream. Great. What do we do with that?
Wow.
We continue to write.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a very good point. You got to go to work, as I said, but there is something, I think can be inspiring by these places. It can be inspiring to go to these places, to see them. I mean, my next spot, and I have not been to all the places you have been, as far as writing spaces are concerned, famous places, but one of my real sort of dreams is to get to Wales and see Dylan Thomas's boathouse. Mm-hmm. My shed is sort of modeled by that a little bit. And there's something that connects to me there. And I suspect that's happened to you when you've seen these places too.
Yeah. Dylan Thomas's is actually a really interesting one. I had wanted to visit his favorite pub on my birthday.
Brown's,
January,
right?
I'm a January baby, and it's in this little town called Larne. And so we went to it, and we go in, and they say, sorry, we're not serving food until spring. So I was kind of disappointed at that. So we decided to walk around the local village and the church and the graveyard. And the next thing you know, I'm standing in front of Dylan Thomas's tomb, and I'm reciting, do not go gentle into that dark night, rage against the dying of the light. Yeah. And then I discover his cabin and whatnot. Yeah, there's something incredibly inspiring about visiting so many of these places, and we can talk about whatever ones you're interested in talking about. But yeah, I think Dylan Thomas's for me was just, you know, it's not very big. It would have been freezing cold and very wet. Wales is a very wet country, but he wrote just as well in a bar as he did in his shed, and he left us a beautiful body of work.
Yes. Yeah, the inspiration comes to me. I don't know if that's my romanticism about writing or creating or what that is, but it certainly does. I mean, I've been in Hemingway's home in Key West, and I was the Hemingway writer in residence at his birthplace home here in the Chicago area. Now, he didn't write anything of worth in that home because he was just a child. But it still was inspiring to be in those places. So mm-hmm. when you are beginning to write or want to write or want to create in any way, and you want to, you know, find that spot, that sweet spot in terms of a place, should you go looking for it?
I think it starts with a mindset. To me, the idyllic writing space is, I think psychologically and spiritually, it's one of two things. I think it's either a desire for a return to the womb, to this very safe, comfortable, protected place, or it's a longing for heaven, for that perfect place where we have life to the full and it's all about the act of creation. It's kind of a hearkening back and a hearkening forward. That's what I think we're actually looking for in a writing space. So for me, I just want to create some semblance of that feeling when I sit down to write. That, and I want it to feel good for my body. So for me, what works right now, I spend half my day at a standing desk, and I spend half my day writing, actually lying down with periscope glasses on. So I don't do any of my writing sitting down. It's either standing up or lying down, and never the twain shall meet. But it's really about creating the mindset and creating physical comforts that you're not thinking about anything aside from your creative decisions.
You know, we did the Writer Shed Press did a newsletter recently that asked some of the writers who have been in our journals to just tell us about their spaces and send us pictures. And, you know, they're as unique as the writers are. Mm-hmm. But one thing I really noticed is that most of the desks or writing space is kind of messy, you know, in terms of like what a school teacher might look at it as. It's a messy place. And one of my writers was apologizing for it. And I said, why would you apologize for a messy space? It's sort of like the creative mind, you know, exploding. And why wouldn't you want that? So I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but that's sort of how I feel. Where do you stand on that?
Yeah, no, I believe in having a cue-rich environment. Roald Dahl's cabin was moved from its original site into the Roald Dahl Children's Museum My wife and I visited it last year. And talk about a Q-rich environment. He's got a piece of his own. He's got like a bone from his leg that was removed. He's got some spinal shavings. He had a giant ball of metal from all the Hershey's wrappers that he from the chocolate he'd eaten over the years. His desk was an absolute mess. But yeah, no, I'm a huge believer in a Q-rich environment. It's the whole joke about empty desk, empty head kind of thing. You know, full mm-hmm. desk, full head. So, I think I'd rather have a full desk and a full head than an empty desk and an empty head. So, but again, to each his own, right? To each yeah. his own.
Yeah, I think own. It was. I think it was. I may be wrong about this. But I think it was E.B. White who wrote at times inside a shed on a farm, on his farm, and there was literally nothing in there, mm-hmm. a desk and nothing on the walls, nothing. And there's a beauty to that the sort of minimalist thing. But yet I don't, and I find that intriguing in a way. And also, you know, somewhat intriguing in terms of like, I'd like to do it that way, but I'm not sure my head wraps around that way either.
Yeah. I actually have two computers. One's actually an air gapped computer. It's not connected to Wi-Fi. And I always do my absolute best, most focused work on that computer for sure. In regards to the E.B. White, shed. Yeah. He didn't even work with a chair. He's sitting on a bench. It looks brutally uncomfortable. I wrote an article, that's a compilation. It's a photo essay of 150 different writers in their writing spaces. And E.B. White is in that mix. For me personally, I have written in quite minimalist spaces. I've actually, for my first book, I took a 37,000 mile pilgrimage around the world. And I actually went to Mount Athos, which is like kind of the Mecca of Greek Orthodoxy. And I did some wonderful writing in a 900-year-old monastery cell overlooking an ancient forest. And there's literally three items in the room, bed, desk, and a cross, right? Like yeah. very minimalist. And I would honestly say, for me at least, the work was no better or no worse, no more productive or less productive than many of the other spaces I've been in.
Yeah, I guess what that comes down to is the space might not be the physical space. The space might be what's in, you know, between your ears at the time.
Yes.
It's like that might be the space that's most important.
And I think the place that drove that point home the most for me was visiting William Wordsworth's Dove Cottage in the Lake District in England. He lived in this super tiny, like maybe 500 square foot cottage. He lived there with his wife, his sister-in-law, their three children, a couple of maids, and a bunch of pets. And the room doesn't even have, the house doesn't even have hallways. It's just room to room to room. And yet during that time, he wrote The Prelude, and he wrote I Wandered Lonely as a Cloud, like profoundly beautiful lines of poetry in a house that was just pure mayhem. The only way you can do that is if your inner citadel, your inner life, is strong enough to kind of hold at bay the exterior world.
That's a very good point. I think that's where I'd like to end it, because that's the most important space, I guess, for a creative person, is what he's feeling and thinking and what's inside at the moment. You've been a delight, Jared. I really appreciate it. You've got some great insight, and let's please keep in touch.
Yeah, thank you for having me, David.
This has been episode 1 of The Writer Shed. I'm David W. Berner. Our music is from iRay Music. Production and interviews produced in The Shed. You can find out more about Writer Shed Press at writershedpress.com and at The Writer Shed on Medium. You can also sign up for our newsletter in both of those places. The Writer Shed is available wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.